It's the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, brought to you by Dr. Randy Walker, Simple Simons, Ayers Cleaners, and Leopard Care Clinic, your weekly local sports podcast. And now, to preview all areas of the upcoming football season, here's your hosts, Greg Revels and Tony Stowers.
And we're back with the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, episode 11. Looking at week whatever.
I don't even know anymore.
I don't know either. It changes every. I think we've been through 6 weeks of football.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And so it must be week seven.
You're right.
No, you have it right, but you can't. It was the wrong logic to get it right.
Yeah.
We had a zero.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. So
we've had 7 weeks of football.
We have.
This is week seven.
This is
going
this is
into the
six.
Eighth game.
Yeah. We're reporting on week six going into week seven.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Yeah. It's just.
It's football. Come
know,
on.
We don't really want to talk about the AAA.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
We're not going to get into that.
That's right.
We're going to bring in a special guest to talk about them later on in the season, I think.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
I think we got somebody special to talk about that.
Oh, no.
She'll do a great job.
Okay. We actually had a.
Rosanna Dana is coming in to talk about the AAA.
I've had some family come in, and they got in Friday, and they knew I had to come over here to make sure all the games run just fine and whatnot. And we ended up spending the entire Friday night talking about Leopard football and Southwest Arkansas football. Why, you know, my dad was very confused on why Leopards play people like Little Rock, Parkview, Hot Springs.
Well, my dad is recent to Arkansas too, and I say 3 years, but he can't understand it either.
Yeah.
A place where somebody hands you 7 games and say, hey, you've got to play these or forfeit or drop out of the conference or go to 8-man football. So he's not the only one that doesn't understand it.
Yeah, yeah. I had trouble explaining it, you know. I'm not even sure I have a full grasp. But, man, it was a rough night for all of our stations on Friday night.
Yeah, really, really was a rough night. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that happens some weeks and mm-hmm. you just get up and dust off and go get ready for the next week.
That's right. Like, we got Horatio and Smack over this week. That's a very
right.
winnable game for Horatio Lions.
That's exactly right.
We'll talk to Jim Cross about what he thinks about the upcoming matchup. Of course, we've got
big game for them.
Yeah, the Leopards are going to have a tough week as well. So
homecoming, you know, for the Leopards.
Homecoming for the Leopards. Yeah. That's right. You know, we'll see. We'll see. I'm looking forward to the Panthers and the Scrappers. That's going to be a great game to listen to.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. I think that's going to be a good game. You know, you got Dirks playing Foreman.
Yeah.
This week mm-hmm. probably be a good game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, and then. Which makes it good for us because then we got both sides.
That's right.
You know, and we can talk about both of them.
That's right.
It makes it a little bit easier. But we, you know, getting down to the time of the year where, you know, these kids have to kind of reach it down and pull a little bit out.
Yeah. Dig deep.
Yeah, because, mm-hmm. you know, you can kind of get tired.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's a grind.
Bye weeks were early for a lot of our yeah. a lot of our teams, so you know, it's tough.
I think the only one that's got one left is Ashdown before the playoffs. The week before the playoffs, they have another bye.
They have another bye.
Yeah,
it reminds me of when I used to work. I worked a warehouse job, and they had to stagger the lunches. And I got my lunch. I started at like 8, and I got my lunch at like 10.
Yeah.
And then you have to work till 6.
Yeah. It's a long time from 10 to 6.
You get hungry.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. Speaking of the Leopards, of course, they did have a tough night of it on Friday, but very commendable effort. We're able to score, right?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Ashdown.
Did not score. You know, it was one of those nights where it seemed like everything they did went wrong.
Murphy's Law.
Yeah. It just, you know, I mean, they had a punt snapped over the head of the punter for a touchdown, had a guy in the grasp. He gets loose, scores a touchdown on a punt return. You know, you see
a pick six that wasn't a pick six.
Yeah,
a
pick six that wasn't a pick six, but then they got 4 holding penalties and then scored. You know, and most of the time that doesn't happen.
It was a really odd first half.
Yeah, it was. It really was. And you know, just you know, as Coach Bell said all year, attitude and effort, and it was there for those kids. And I think that you know, after after that, you know, you just some games you just don't have it like you do other games. Yeah. You know, I think they were really, really up for Parkview.
Yeah.
I think they were kind of flat for Hot Springs.
Well, and I'm telling you what, I mean, that's anybody. That's the NFL. That's college. Mm-hmm. And that's also teenagers. I mean, yeah. I've raised three teenage boys. If anybody knows teenage boys, it's me. And I will tell you that's the way they are. Every day's different.
That's right. Yeah.
That's exactly right.
But, well, I mean, should we listen to the man himself?
We can do it. We can talk to Coach Richard Bell.
That's right.
Tough loss Friday night at Hot Springs.
Yeah, we didn't show up like I thought we could. Again, we come out, I thought we were a little bit flat. I don't know if it was the two-hour drive or what it was, or because it was homecoming. I really don't know. But we came out a little bit flat. Not a whole lot of enthusiasm, not a lot of excitement. I was sick. I had a double ear infection, and I was running fever. So I don't know if my energy fed over into the guys or not. But after I called timeout and talked to them a little bit, we a little bit turned it around some. We had three big plays that went against us first half. We had snap over the head in the end zone for a touchdown, a pick six on about the 25-yard line for a touchdown, and then we had a guy dead to rights on a punt. He caught it. Ulysses Cotto, one of our best tacklers, hit him, had him wrapped up, just fell off, and the guy ran for a touchdown. So you take those three plays away, and you know, it's a 19-point ball game. I didn't think that it should have been as far away gone game as it was. I thought that we could have played them a lot better. It just didn't happen that way.
Yeah.
You know, the Hot Springs is a pretty good ball team, 5-1 on the year, the only loss to Parkview, and there's no shame in that, as we'll probably find out as the season goes on. Had an All-State three-year starter at quarterback, Matthew Contreras, and he looked the part. He's a good ball player.
Oh, yeah. We watched on film, I think, is when they were playing Hope. And, you know, he threw five or six touchdown passes to number zero. His name left me. But so we double-teamed him all night. So they just said, okay, we're going to go the other side, and which they did, you know, so he could throw it all over the field. I thought on defensive-wise, we were in a position to make a play as far as tackles. We'd get stiff-armed, and they'd run for 30. Or they would just straight-out runs around the outside. You know, so defensively, I thought that we had a good game plan. I thought the kids were prepared and in the right position. I thought our D-line did outstanding. Darian Henderson and Kyle Williamson, you know, they both came up with 14 tackles. And Darian finally realized that, hey, you know, I'm 6'3", 285. Because we watched film, and I said, hey, they got two 315-pound guys on that old line. So you're going to have to buck up, buddy. And he sure enough did, and he played really well. We had a lot of sophomores starting, and I thought those guys did a good job on defense.
They really did. That, for young guys, they did a good job. You know, and Kyle and Darian were our co-players of the game on the radio call Friday night.
That'd be a good call because those guys played hard.
Yeah, they really did a good job. And you know, I sense the same thing you kind of sense, just a little lower emotional level when the game started out.
And no ear infection.
Yeah. I didn't have an ear infection, but you know, it just seemed like maybe it, to start out with, we were just kind of going through the motions but I think they picked up the intensity as the game went on. And like you said, with the exception of about three plays, I think it was probably, would have been a lot closer game if it would have happened those.
Yeah, they have an outstanding defensive core. You know, they have a number 11 on their defensive line that, you know, he played really well. And I thought that our guys, you know, were well prepared. I thought they were going to be in the right spot. And again, you know, the kids could have fed off me, and I'll take that one because, buddy, I wasn't feeling good at all. But again, there's no way. I don't care if I was in a car accident, I'm going to be at that football game. And so the boys are always there for me. The boys have always stepped up. Again, you know, everybody's due a bad game, and I just think that emotionally, you know, they may have not been in it. But that second half, they came out that second half, I had a talk with them, kind of, you know, revamped them. And they came out the second half, and I'm telling you right now, you know, they're never going to give up on you. They're always going to play hard for you. These boys have a lot of heart, and I promise I wouldn't rather be anywhere else.
Yeah. Coach, it seemed like, just from what I observed, our punters were under duress all night, whether it was Lance Wise or whether it was Jared Munoz. Were they doing something different or with, are they just that good?
Well, they a lot of their pressure come from the outside, and so we usually funnel all of our stuff into the interior and try to kick right up the middle. Well, they had so much speed coming off the outside that we were sending guys out there to try to get them, but, you know, we just couldn't get there. You know? And again, when we kicked the field goal, they put a guy out there that was 6'6". He just stood right in the middle and jumped straight up, you know. And so they were an extremely talented football team. Take nothing away from them as far as their coaching or their kids' ability. They played a great game. I 100% think that my kids gave me great attitude and effort, and that's all I ask them to give me. I just think they came out a little flat, but they turned that around as the game went on.
Yeah, and we agree with that. But, you know, we're going to name Kyle Williamson our Gentry Chevy Leopard Player of the Game. 6 tackles, 2 tackles for loss. You know, we've nicknamed him TFL.
Tackle for a loss.
Yeah, because it seems like every time he makes a tackle, it's a tackle for loss.
Well, you know? And we had a big goal line stand later in the game. I mean, it seemed to be a very emotional. You know, it may change things as the season goes on, but they were headed in for a touchdown. We had a big goal line stand that consisted of 2 or 3 tackles for loss in a row. And he was a big part of that.
Kyle, I'm a little partial to Kyle. You know, he's family. Me and his father, you know, played for the Leopards together, and his dad was on the O-line when I was running the ball, and so that was always a great bond between me and his father, of course, growing up together, and our parents being brothers and sisters, you know. But seeing Kyle out there doing a good job, and, you know, just puts a smile on my face because I know his family is very proud of him. And that kid right there, again, you talk about one that would lay on the railroad tracks for you. He's one of them, you know. And we have those kids all over the field. I mean, you look at Cole Binkley; he'll do anything for these boys on offense to try to win. You know, you got your offensive line that lay it out. So, I mean, these boys, they're not going to leave each other hanging, and they're not going to leave us hanging. And Kyle is a great example of that. And we got a lot of sophomores on that team that are examples of that. Yes. You know, they're all over the place. We got a lot of guys out hurt, and they're stepping up and playing, and those sophomores are doing what I ask them to do, and I'm proud of them.
Jake Martin played really well, too.
Jake Martin always plays well. Yeah. And if I can every day at practice, that kid makes me smile because he reminds me of his brother, how goofy he is, you know. But he just loves life, and he loves playing football. So he makes you smile when you see him, and he's always going to give you his all.
Yep. Well, you know, again, Kyle Williamson, our Gentry Chevy Leopard Player of the Game. Moving forward to this week, homecoming week, big busy week for Camden Fairview Cardinals.
Coaches love
coming
homecoming,
to
don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Just before we really start talking about the football team, just want to mention something that you did reinstate, a tradition that it used to happen all the time, but the football players are going to walk the girls on the field. Friday night.
That was something that when I was growing up as a kid, sitting in the stands and, you know, and getting to see those guys walk with those you know, beautiful young women and you know, their parents and their fathers, and, you know, having those young ladies out there with the guy that nominated them, you know, it was just another aspect. You know, being in the auditorium and being in your tuxedo, to me, that wasn't really homecoming. But when I put those pads on and I got to, you know, walk with, which I walked with then, it was Aaron Taylor, which is now Miss Wagner. She teaches in sixth grade. Me and Jason Parson walked with her at homecoming. She was our homecoming queen. It's the stuff that you kind of remember, you know, and those are the photos that you hang on the wall of you and your shoulder pads, you know, and that's something that to me was a big deal at DeQueen, and I wanted to bring that back. Even though if it puts any strain on us at all, I really don't care. You know, it's for those kids, and it's for those parents, and it's a big night.
Yeah, well, I think that's a really good tradition you're bringing back there. So looking at the Camden Fairview Cardinals, you know, they're 2-1 in the conference, and they're tied for second. You know, they beat Arkadelphia. They beat Magnolia 40-14 last week.
I had watched the film earlier in the year, Magnolia playing Nashville. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Magnolia mercy ruled Nashville. And I was like, golly, Magnolia's got some crazy speed. Well, then I watched Camden Fairview against Magnolia, and Camden Fairview just outran them. I mean, and I was like, "Good Lord!" So they got some major weapons. Magnolia manned them up. on some pass routes and just got out, ran down the middle of the field. And so we're going to try to do some different things on defense that we haven't done or that they haven't seen just to mix it up. Because, again, I think our kids can play with anybody, but we're going to try to make ourselves in positions to make plays. And I think we're doing a good job of doing that. And the kids are, you know, like what we're doing this week. We're kind of changing it up. A little bit on offense, too. We're going to still do the same plays, but we're going to do them out of different formations. We have put some new stuff in on offense to kind of throw Camden off guard, to try to shake things up. And it really excited the kids yesterday at practice when we bring them in. Monday is kind of our install day. We talk about what Camden does, how we're going to attack it. And then we do a lot of conditioning and weightlifting and film and all that stuff. But the kids were excited with what we came up with this weekend. We meet every Sunday. And we came up with some new stuff to do on offense. And I really like it. It looks really good. I just hope it works.
Yeah.
You know? But we're going to keep plugging away. And, again, it's a great team. But I have confidence in my guys every day. And like I said, I enjoy the heck out of it.
Fairview did have to move on from Martavius Thomas, their All-State quarterback and all-around great athlete, and I think he played there 6 years. He had a COVID year. He had a redshirt year. Seemed like he'd been there.
He'd been
there a long time.
Yeah.
But they do have some talent. They have a talented slot receiver, Trent Haywood, 36 catches, 886 yards, 6 touchdowns last year. They do return all 5 offensive linemen, too, and I'm sure that makes them pretty stout on the line, Coach.
Well, I was just talking to Jay a while ago. I thought the offensive line last year was outstanding, and I had watched it. I had watched some of the games, and I didn't know that they had all been back because there was a couple of spots on defense I thought that we would be able to exploit on those guys. You know, again, they're very good at what they do, but I think we can try to use our – again, we'll be outside, but try to use our size and a little bit more speed against those bigger guys on some different stunts and angles to try to get back there to them. Again, our biggest fear is their speed. If they spread us out and get those guys in open space, it'd be very, very hard for us to do an open field tackle. You know, so we're going to try to keep them contained, try to keep them inside the tackle box as much as possible. Again, if they run it down the middle of the field, I'd change the defense a little bit up so I could have a extra help behind our corners and safeties. So hopefully it's going to play in our favor. We'll just have to see what happens Friday night.
All right.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, Coach, we really appreciate you coming in. You're always a great interview, and you're dependable, and you're honest, and you don't always get that. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, we thank you, and I know it's going to be a really busy week for you with all the homecoming activities, and, you know, we just looking for the best from the Leopards this week. You know, and one thing you said, and we agree with you 100%, no lack of effort.
No, like I said, the best thing about what I do is I get to go to work and work with young men who want to learn and young men that will give me everything they got. You can't ask for a better job than the job I got. Yeah. It's you honestly can't. And a lot of people say, hey, man, how's it going? I was like, it's actually going really great. I said, me and the kids got a great relationship. They're learning. They're playing hard. They give me everything they got. I don't know what else I could ask for.
I'll tell you what, in the worldview, we are so blessed. We are so blessed to live here. Be a part of this. I mean, just call the glory to God.
That's exactly right. And we appreciate you coming in, Coach Bell. We look forward to Friday night. Go Leopards.
Go Leopards, baby.
Go Leopards.
Harris Drug and Gifts, of course, 205 DeQueen Avenue in beautiful downtown DeQueen. A very quaint storefront. That's what we started saying on the show.
Yeah.
Quaint. You know, it's nothing better than going in there, filling your prescription, but also enjoying, you know, community people you know, and
friendly service,
yeah, and
not looking down on you from way up there.
That's right.
Yeah,
you stay down there.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And, you know, Renee and her staff are excellent at helping you out, whatever your needs are, from prescription drugs to over the counter to the bridal registry.
Yeah,
you know,
free local
gifts,
gift wrapping, free local delivery. If you're unable to pick up your prescription, either physically or lazy like Greg, you can have it delivered. And gifts for everybody, including baby, home decor, toys, locally made goods, and stuff for the guy in your life who is a big Razorbacks fan or woman. They got Hogs merch.
That's it. They have all the Hogs merch.
That's
they
right.
They also have a little bit of Brother Udy merch down there.
They do. They
yeah,
do.
Yeah, Brother Udy told us that the other day.
I need a little black sheep.
Yeah, a little black sheep. You want to hear that.
Yeah. Shirt. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
So Harris Drug and Gifts, don't forget about them. Go on down there and make them your hometown pharmacy. Family ran in DeQueen for over 50 years for a reason.
Yes.
We need to talk about the Horatio Lions.
Let's do it.
All right. And we have Philip Fields on the line.
Philip, a tough night for the Lions.
Yeah, you know, it was they were playing a great team there in Murfreesboro. That you know, it's played pretty well, but really had trouble getting on track. The running game didn't come together well. Had some good luck on passing though. Riley Williamson was 8 for 17, 66 yards. He threw a touchdown pass to Trey Smith there in the second half. Trey was had three catches for 42 yards and the touchdown. So, you know, overall not too bad. But the running game had trouble getting on track. Drake Angel ran 8 times for 32 yards, and Leighton Achille ran 7 for 18 yards. So couldn't really get that balanced attack going, and had to rely on Riley Williams. He made some good decisions, did pretty well. We had a couple of good drives, but just couldn't come up with a lot of points there.
Well, you know, we've described Murfreesboro as like a three-headed snake. And they ran for 376 yards Friday night. They ran for more than that the week before against Dirks. And by my count, they've thrown 5 passes in 2 weeks, and 2 have been intercepted.
Yeah, they threw 3 passes last. All of them were caught.
Yeah.
Two of them by their team, one of them by Horatio.
Yeah, even one of them by us. Yeah, or two. They tried to balance out their offense a little bit. Off the throwing attack. They really surprised us. Coming out on first down there in the first quarter with a pass, that surprised us. But I tell you what, guys, even though I was on the other end of it, watching that running attack by Murfreesboro was really fun to watch. I mean, Malachi Sanders, he's one of the strongest runners out of that fullback spot that I've seen.
Yeah,
quite a while.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people that's just basically give this conference to Mineral, and I'm telling you. Murfreesboro is
well, they're looking good.
Yeah,
they look very good. I mean, there's a reason why they're
not this conference, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I talked to Coach at Murfreesboro there, Brad, after the game, and I said, you know, of all the games that I want to be at, and I think I can because I think our schedule will allow it, I'd like to be here November 2nd when Murfreesboro plays Springs because I think that's going to be a great game. And he laughed and he said, you know, everybody keeps talking about that, but I keep telling everybody we got a lot of games from here and there. We can't really look that far ahead. And I said, well, you're talking about it from the coach perspective,
right.
Talking about it from the media and the fan perspective, and we all want to be here November 2nd. He started laughing. What a great guy. Great host there at Murfreesboro, man. They set us up really well. We really enjoyed broadcasting from there.
Good deal. Well, it looked like the Lions had a lot of turnovers. 6 turnovers. That probably slowed them down quite a bit.
Yeah. Quite a few turnovers, interceptions. You know, they had a turnover interception. We got Riley got intercepted down on the goal line, and Murfreesboro wound up with it on the 5-yard line, and then they drove back and got to within the striking distance of the goal line, and then we intercepted. You know, and turned it around. So. It was quite a game. I mean, the turnovers really kind of made it exciting. I mean, you hate it when you lose them, but you kind of enjoy seeing it when you get them. So there were a lot of turnovers. I'm not really sure. Yeah, there were a lot of turnovers in that first half, and that really made it an interesting game.
Well, I think we're going to go with the Horatio State Bank line player of the game. We're going to go with Trey Smith, 3 catches for 42 yards and a touchdown. Philip, you got any thoughts on his game?
Yeah, Trey Smith's really been he's really a little bit of a surprise, and he's turned out to be a really good receiver. You know, he's had several games with a TD now, had a couple of good receptions. He had a big reception, one of his 3 catches. He had a big reception all the way down to the inside the 5-yard line. We didn't quite come up with any points on it, but it was a great catch. I mean, very good receiver, good hands. He's got decent speed. Yeah, he's pretty good. I also wanted to mention, in terms of outstanding play, though, I want to mention Riley Williamson. Not for his performance at quarterback, which was fine, but he had about four solo tackles in a row. I'm not really sure exactly how many tackles he had on the night, but he had a number of touchdown saving tackles. He runs that safety spot, and he was the last one with a shot at Malachi Sanders, Lake Compton Branson several times, and he made that touchdown saving tackle. I know at least five or six times. So his defensive play was outstanding.
Yeah. But this week you play one of the great nicknames in high school sports in Arkansas, the Smack Over Buckaroos.
Smack Over Buckaroos. Yeah, they'll be coming. We'll be broadcasting that as a home game. Should be a good one. We're looking forward to it.
3-3 on the year. 0-1 in the league. Lost to Junction City, 33-20 last week. From what you can glean from articles and stuff, Smack Over. They're dealing with an inexperienced quarterback, kind of an A and B situation, and at halfback as well. But they've got a stud at wide receiver, senior Tanner Mitchell. He was all conference last year with 33 catches for 479 yards and four touchdowns. So the Lions will have to find an answer for him. Then on defense, senior linebacker Trace Davis. He's only 6'2", 220, and benches 350. Had 85 tackles last year.
That's it.
yeah, just 6'3", 220, and benches 350 pounds.
he's gonna be a big one in the middle for sure. We did pretty good on pass defense against Murfreesboro. We had several interceptions. So, you know, if Macover wants to pass, I think we can play that game.
The how have the Lions played Smackover in the past?
Smackover last year at the conference realignment. I mean, we went to Smackover. We did okay last year. They ran away from us there in the second half. They had a few really talented athletes, and we lost a few big plays. But we generally play Smackover pretty well, so I think it'll be a good competitive game.
Yeah, Hooton's had them picked fourth in the conference, so right in the middle of the conference. So, boy, Philip, we really appreciate you calling in.
Yep. Have a great week, and we're looking forward to a Lions victory this week.
Go Lions.
Go Lions.
Go Lions. Thanks, guys.
Take care.
All right. Ashdown Veterinary Clinic and DeQueen Animal Hospital, great sponsors here on the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air.
And they've got you covered for all your veterinary needs in Southwest Arkansas with two locations, DeQueen and Ashdown, 1690 Highway 70 West in DeQueen, and also 139 Southern Drive in Ashdown.
Mm-hmm.
If you need them,
yeah,
you can call them, 870-642-8387.
Right.
Or Vets.
Or Vets. Or if you're in Ashdown, 870-898-5181. Schedule your appointment today for maybe a spay and neuter.
That's
maybe
right.
A general checkup. Maybe they need vaccinations. Tick and flea problems going on still, going into these
grooming.
Colder months. Grooming as well,
boarding
as well. So they offer pretty much a full comprehensive veterinary experience.
They really do.
And great people over there. The staff, Dr. Martin, all these people just really, really care and make you happy to bring in your pets and little furry ones in there to be healthy.
Yep. They not only make you feel good, they make your pets feel good.
That's right.
Too.
That's right.
And that's a big part of it. And, you know, they not only deal with pets, they deal with large animals too, mm-hmm, which mm-hmm. can be pets, but
yeah.
But you know,
but livestock, most people, you know, yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, you do that for a living, mm-hmm. and that's got to be a little like kind of mind racking, you know, if you start getting sick livestock. So bringing them into Dr. Martin is probably pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He makes you feel good. He takes care of the problem and you're done.
Mhm.
Yep.
Awesome.
So, you know, with two locations, he's there for, you know, at different locations, different times. You can see him either in DeQueen, you mm-hmm. can see him in Ashdown. They take care of your problems. You're good to go.
Awesome. DeQueen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic, great sponsors here of the podcast. And we want to talk about Ashdown right now, which I do want to say, I listened to a good deal of that game. They put through really, really, like, valiant effort, the Ashdown Panthers against, I mean, the top Malvern. I mean, yeah. You know, and excited to talk to Jim Cross about it.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's talk to Jim.
And we have Jim Cross on the line.
Good morning, Jim.
Well, you say, fellas, it's Nashville week where everybody pulls for the Panthers this week.
That's exactly right.
There's people all around the Queen wearing purple, and I have no reason. I don't have no earthly reason why.
We got Jeff Tuttle in here.
He's in the studio, and he's wearing purple.
That's right.
That's exactly right. The scrappers unite us all.
Oh, boy. So, hey, tough game Friday night, Jim.
Yeah, Greg, it's kind of interesting. We hung with them for a while, and defensively we played really well early. We got two touchdowns called back on penalties, and I'm not saying they weren't penalties, but if you get those, you're right in the ball game, and it's, you know, it's 14-0 early, and we're hanging in there, and chance to score to make it 14-7, and we just never could get the offense flowing. But Jalen Dupree and dialing Carradine for Malvern, they're as good as anybody you'll see all year. Dupree had almost 200 yards, and Carradine had 8 catches in the first half.
Wow. Those guys are the real deal.
Yeah, they are. I'm glad to see them move on.
Jim's going to go up to Malvern for the graduation and make sure they graduate. Like we did that kid from Hope.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
seemed like he played for him for 6 years.
That's right.
Make sure they don't get held back a grade or two.
That's exactly right. But you know, you get into this part of the season. I mean, you know, for the Panthers, just a murderer's row of Malvern, Nashville, Arkadelphia, and starting off with Malvern, you know, defending state 4A champs, still ranked number one by the Democrat Gazette in 4A, and they lost a couple of games, like you said last week, to the Chicago Bears, the Dallas Cowboys, to some really good.
If they'd have played the Cowboys Sunday night, they might have got them.
That's right.
I'm not sure the Cowboys could have stopped Dupree.
That's exactly right. But you're just talking about some excellent football teams, and you've got to make sure that you're there with them and you can't make mistakes. And like you said, you know, you get a couple of touchdowns called back. That's really just damaging to your psyche more than anything else. And they're going to take advantage of that when that happens.
Yeah, because on the kickoff, I mean, we held them the first time. They punted us, and then we punted back, and then they scored, and we run the kickoff back 85 yards for a touchdown. And so you're thinking, okay, heck, we're right back in the game 7-7, and you know it's called back. And offensively, this is where Malvern didn't get as much credit. Defensively, they're really good too, and offensively, we just never could really get anything going. And so eventually, defensively, we just kind of wore down. And second half, Dupree was just too much for us.
Jim, it seems like all season the Panthers have been trying to find their footing in the running game, and we're a little more than halfway through. And they still haven't found it. Can you think of an explanation for that? Because at the beginning of the season, I would have thought Ashdown could run the ball really well with the athletes they have.
Yeah, it's really been confusing, guys. We started off with a spread, and now we're kind of more in the flex bone, wing T kind of set up, trying to get the running backs quicker to the hole. But we just still haven't really established it. And I'm going to say part of it is, and I think you guys can understand this, is that we're playing all these running backs both ways.
Yeah.
And I think that's making a difference as well. And we're rotating running backs back and forth, but they're playing every snap on defense. And I just wonder if that's kind of – I even asked Coach Richardson about that yesterday, if that's taking a toll. But I think we're going to see Grayson Porter, the quarterback, more involved in the running game, because really he's a running back who happens to play quarterback. So I'm kind of guessing that against Nashville that he's probably going to carry the ball 12 to 15 times.
Just like on cue, Grayson Porter, our Horatio State Bank Panther player of the game, had 151 total yards. Sound like he had a pretty good night, Jim.
Yeah, he did. He threw the ball well, and he runs. Gosh, he runs like a freight train. And he, like I say, he doesn't run like a quarterback. He doesn't slide. He doesn't get out of bounds. He runs over you, which sometimes you think, get out of bounds. But he's a real ferocious runner. And so I think that might be the key of the game. If we can get him running the ball more, then maybe that'll open up things for Ty Marks and Antonio McDuffie, the tailbacks.
Well, now we move on to this week, and I'll tell you what, One thing you got to say about Nashville is how many different teams is Nashville their biggest rival? I mean, it's kind of like, I mean, Arkansas thinks they have a rivalry with Alabama. Does Alabama think they have a rivalry with Arkansas?
Right.
Yeah, and they're kind of that.
I don't think that's even crossed their minds.
So, yeah. I mean, they're one of our big rivals. They're one of your big rivals. I understand they're one of Hope's big rivals. So, you know, it says a lot about the scrappers. As much as I like to poke fun at them, I hope they never poke me back. They're very respected. 4-2 on the year. 1-1 in the league. And Greg, it's also our Woods Agency Shelter Insurance Game of the Week.
It is, and
all right.
Looking forward to that. I mean, you got Ashdown and Nashville both tied for third right now in the conference. This is gonna be a big game for playoff seeding. The way I see it,
Jim. Yeah. Ashdown, yeah. Any chance to finish third? They got to win this ball game.
Well, yeah, in the third seed, guys, interesting enough, you get a home game.
Right.
And so that changes everything. I mean, if you get a home game, you're playing the fourth seed of the 8-4A, and you got to like your chances. But then, boy, if you get the fourth or the fifth seed, as I like to say, you're going to be traveling to Alaska.
That's right.
And
the Anchorage Sea Wolves, you draw them in the playoffs.
So, you know, so like you say, if you win this game, and you got, even if you don't beat Arkadelphia, which is going to be tough in itself, and you feel like if you can beat Mena, then you're the three seed, and you got a home game, and that changes everything, guys.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It really does. And, you know, that's why this game's so important. Last week, Nashville beat Mena 46-14 at Mena.
Yeah, I thought that would be a better game than that. I thought the score would be closer. Mena's much improved, but it's a little scary that the Scrappers went up there and was able to put it on Mena like that.
Yeah,
I was a little surprised with the score, too. And talking to Coach Richardson, he said Mena just couldn't stop the running game. And, that was you got to slow that down against Nashville because Hopkins will eat you alive. And then they got another running back named Dixon. He's averaging over 100 yards a game. So you got two running backs averaging over 100 yards a game. And then Chambers runs the ball well, too. And their passing game is okay. But you got, if you can't slow down Hopkins, you got no shot.
Well, and they've got a really good junior quarterback, Carson Chambers, and yeah, apparently he's the only quarterback they have from what we understand.
Yeah.
6'2", 190, but he is a handful, Jim, and the Panthers will definitely have their hands full with the Scrappers this week. I think it's a winnable game. I think that Ashdown could head to Nashville, pull the upset, especially with all the emotion involved in that game. You know, I've had the pleasure to listen to Bunch call an Ashdown Mena game, and I've had the pleasure to listen to you and Daryl call an Ashdown Nashville game. And even you guys are very emotional about this game. I can't imagine that the level of the players, their emotion.
Yeah, you know, Coach Richardson, he tries to, in a sense, tries to make it another game. But, fellas, it's not just another game.
No, it's not.
You know, it's talked about 12 months out of the year. And I mean, it's as important to these kids as graduation. I mean, they talk about this. I mean, you go to the gas station, that's what we're talking about this week. You go to the post office, that's the conversation. People ask me, can we beat Nashville? I mean, that's the only thing being talked about in Ashdown this week.
Yeah,
28-20 last year, Jim. It sounded like that was a good ball game too.
It certainly was. We had our chances, and once again, Trey Hopkins was tough. Now, they lost Sloan Perrin, their other quarterback, who was really good last year. But it looks like Chambers has stepped right in and hadn't missed a beat. But on defense, here's what kind of caught my attention, guys, and talking to the coaches, is Nashville's offense gets a lot of credit. But on defense, they got a guy, a sophomore named Zacchaeus Harris, that Coach Richardson said just dominated the Mena game almost by himself. And so that's a guy we're going to have to really watch for, number 40. Zacchaeus Harris, he said he looked as good on film as anybody in the conference.
Wow.
And I thought, wow, as a sophomore.
That is high praise.
It is.
Especially in the 7-4A, the SEC of Arkansas conferences.
Yes. Because usually we go in the Nashville game saying, hey, their defense is average, okay, and if we think we can score with them. But boy, that's not what I wanted to hear yesterday afternoon.
Well, yeah, the Scrappers are notorious, or they have been notorious, for playing their best athletes on offense and kind of making do on defense. But I think that philosophy's changed a little bit. I noticed that as well. They got some guys on defense that's willing to step up and stick you.
Yes, they do. And even Coach Richardson went on to say, he said their defensive front, their front four, he says are as good as anybody in the conference, and that means Arkadelphia and Malvern as well. Yeah. So that's even going to make it tougher to get the running game started. So I have a feeling Wood Walton's going to be a big part of this game as well. We're going to get the ball to him. The last two games we've not been able to, and Coach Richardson said that that's something that they're going to get the ball to Wood.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, that, I'm sure that would be a big help to you. Just want to mention one more time that this is going to be our Woods Agency Shelter Insurance Game of the Week. The Ashdown Panthers at the Nashville Scrappers, big, big game with major playoff implications. Wish you all the luck in the world as
well,
we go.
You know, if I could be at another game Friday night other than the Leopard game, that's where I would be in Nashville to watch this.
It's going to be a great game, Jim. Looking forward to it. Listening to you and Daryl call it, and good luck for the Panthers this week.
Hey, will you guys do me a favor? Say a prayer for me before the game that I won't lose my pastoral job by doing the radio. So against Nashville. So sometimes
include you in the prayer they say for me. We'll just put you in the prayer that they say for me, that I'll be able to keep mine as well.
Hey, Jim, you know that's why I'm on the radio. Because that keeps me from yelling like I would.
Jim, we appreciate you so much.
Yeah.
Have a great week.
You too, Jim. Thank you, man. Right.
Take care.
See you. Bye-bye.
We got to take a moment to talk about Dr. Randy Walker, of course, who has you covered. 7-7-7 is the motto over there. That's 7 days a week from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. They are open here in DeQueen. And they also have 24-7 after hours, kind of emergency calling. You call that normal number, 870-584-3000. Choose option 6 to get through to the 24/7 calling. So it's almost kind of it's 24/7. Yeah. I mean, at Dr. Randy Walker's
because
clinic.
when you hit option 6, mm-hmm. you are talking to somebody.
That's right. Yeah, it's not just an automated robot or a call center in India.
That's right.
Saying, yes, sir, how can I help you with my problem? Sorry, I shouldn't be doing that voice. Yeah.
You know, well, you're right.
I might have to cut that one out. But I'm not going to cut this out talking about me cutting it out.
No, but you know what? If you got a problem,
yeah,
they can cut it out.
Yes, they can. Like a bullet, I've heard.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, they do all kinds of things, wound care, fracture care and casting, joint injections, minor skin lacerations, IV fluids.
And antibiotics. Yes, sir. And then for the workplace as well, which is extremely important for around here, DOT physicals, so you can drive that that truck with no issues, drug screenings, workers' comp, and employment and pre-employment physicals, which can be very important. Also, Leopard Care Clinic they offer.
Absolutely. Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. You know, how blessed are we to have an on-campus medical clinic there at DeQueen High School?
For our leopards.
It's amazing. Yeah. We don't know how blessed we are.
Absolutely.
That's exactly right.
Healthy students make better learners
You know what else we're blessed by?
What's that?
Simple Simons.
Oh,
amen.
We couldn't be more blessed. I'm going there today.
Yeah.
Yeah, all you can eat.
I'm still telling
you. Do you go there every time you're telling me you go there today?
Of course.
You're going to have to get on intermittent starving
like I'm on.
I've gained a few pounds since this podcast started.
Let's go eat some wings.
Yeah, let's do it,
Let's do that.
Yeah, the wings over there are awesome. And when you get that large, because I order the large.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I?
Yeah.
Why would you not? I know. Yeah. I can't finish them. So every single time I order the large, I wonder exactly why I did that. Because it's a lot of wings, man. And you get boneless or traditional, hot and spicy, barbecue, Italian, buffalo, Cajun. It don't matter. Get some wings from there because they're very good, as well as some pizza. Pizza and wings, perfect catering event for your football watch parties, UFC fight nights, or boxing matches. Maybe you just want to get them and watch the DQTV Leopard separate games that happen. Maybe you want to listen to the radio at some of the various high school football games going on a Friday night. Simple Simon's got you covered for that.
They got it all, man. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you got a big party going on, like you said, they got all kinds of party packs you can get.
Yep.
They've got all kinds of pizzas. Mm-hmm. You can also go to the buffet.
Yeah.
Buffet's most excellent.
Yes.
All you can eat.
$8.99. You get pizza. There's salad. There's dessert pizza. Greg somehow able to finagle wings out of that situation.
I still haven't gotten it. I guess we need to go with Greg.
Yeah. We just need to go with Greg. That's the problem.
In about 15 minutes, we'll be going.
That's right.
Yeah.
And also, Dr. Randy Walker has a location in Dierks
as well,
which is very important to this conversation because we have a Mr. Jeff Tuttle in studio.
Boy, Jeff, it's good to have you with us. We appreciate you coming in every week and giving us some insight on the Outlaws. You've even guest hosted for us once, and we really appreciate your input into the podcast and radio show.
I enjoy it. Enjoy sitting in with y'all. It's a lot more fun when we're all winning, though.
It was not the best night for Southwest Arkansas football.
No, it really was. It really wasn't. Tough game for the Outlaws against Mineral Springs. Knew it was going to be that way. Didn't know it was going to be like this, 42-6. But Mineral Springs has got a really good football team.
Yes, they do. They got several good players, and you know the Outlaws got to see them for four full quarters. Even with the sportsmanship rule in effect. With that being said, I'll point out a couple of the positives for the Outlaws. You know, the Outlaws, they stopped the Hornets on the opening drive and got a turnover and went down and scored first. I believe that's the first time the Hornets have been behind and trailed all season. I even said on the radio, I said, that's the way you want things to go. I mean, it gives our team confidence, maybe puts a question in their head about what they're facing. And I like the way it looked. Now on this stat sheet we got, the kickoff return says -3 yards. I believe it was about 65. They responded on the kickoff and returned it for a touchdown. So any momentum we had was gone right there.
Mm. You just wonder how the game could have been different if had you just, you know, been able to tackle the guy at the 30 or 40-yard line, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if you stop them and they don't answer, who knows what happens because the defense stepped up. I mean, the score doesn't really show it. They took advantage of a young secondary. And, I mean, the Irwin kid had a great game, 7 completions for 5 touchdowns.
Yeah.
You know.
That's pretty efficient.
Yes, it is. I believe it.
Quarterback rating of 131. I think that's as high as it can be.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's got a quarterback rating on there somewhere.
It does. I think 131 is as high as it goes.
And I was a little disappointed in the way they handled it after – they invoked the sportsmanship rule, but that was another positive of the Outlaws. I mean, the mercy rule, as I'll call it, went into effect like less than a minute into the second half, and the Outlaws didn't give up any more points, and that's with Mineral Springs throwing at the end zone every chance they got. And so they played inspired football, and, you know, I realize they lost 42-6, but if they finish out the season like that, they probably win their last 3 ball games.
Well, let me ask you this, Jeff. You are one of the few guys that have been able to kind of objectively watch Murfreesboro and Mineral Springs. Would you like to be there that night?
Yes, I would, and I think they play on the same Thursday night we play our final game of the season. I'm not wanting to make anybody mad, but it doesn't bother me to do that. From what I've seen from both teams, I think Murfreesboro wins just because of the line of scrimmage. I mean, they dominate the line of scrimmage.
I'll tell you what, it is a three-headed snake. That Rattler can run the football.
Yeah. That'd be an interesting game to see. But, we're going to go with Kaysen Jewell as our Toe Thumper Lures player of the game.
Well, I noticed y'all went with him online. He is a talent, and a lot of times – the young people that play the positions he plays do not get those kind of awards because there's not a lot of stats attached to him. But I noticed you all went with him, so I knew he must have done something special that night.
He disrupted the center quarterback exchange pretty regular. I mean, Evan Irwin, the quarterback, like I say, he had a good night for the Hornets. He took nearly every snap off of the ground. There was I don't know how many they might have fumbled that they recovered, you know, and Outlaws got one in there. And I mean, it's – and Jewel was the reason up front. He just – he dominated the line of scrimmage, just couldn't do it all by himself.
Right. Well, and now get the Foreman Gators this week. Foreman lost to the Poen Indians 52-13. And how have your games lately been with Foreman? Have y'all – I know Foreman has struggled the last couple of years, but I imagine in the past that's been a pretty good rivalry.
Yeah, I mean, the Outlaws hadn't had a lot of trouble the last few years. You know, Foreman is 5-6 years removed from a state championship.
I think 17.
And, yeah. You know, those were some good – they had some good teams even after Coach King left and Coach Ivory came in. You know, they had a good ball team there for a few years. And they've struggled the last few years. And I'd like to say this is a good chance for the Outlaws to pick up a conference win and get things in the right direction. But hey, you got to play football Friday night. I mean, those guys are looking for a win too. So, I mean, everybody's looking to get their first conference win here. And not to mention, none of us really know a whole lot about the Foreman Gators.
Right. Well, you know, I know G.J. Anderson's tough because, yeah,
that's exactly,
I mean,
right.
You know, I've always, you know, if you've got one bullet to fire, you're dangerous. And they've got one in D.J. Anderson. He is a good ball player. You know, Hooten's talked him up in their preseason, their magazine. And I think that he has won the player of the game for them nearly, if not every week.
I can remember calling his name, you know, on the radio last year. I know maybe before that. I'm not sure what class he's in. And, you know, we talked about it when you were talking about – y'all talked about Ashdown in the past. A couple of their ball players, you know, came from Foreman. So they've lost a few of their weapons.
Yeah.
But
yeah, they have. But
DJ has 4.6 speed. And if you got 4.6 speed, you're dangerous.
You're always dangerous.
You are.
That's
exactly right.
Wanted to ask you one question. Just any, you know, getting to the point in the season where injuries can become a factor. Anybody injured for the Outlaws that's going to affect anything in the future?
Well, the Beckman kid, he sat out last week off of an injury. I'm not sure how severe that is. I hadn't really talked to anybody. But he didn't suit out last week against Mineral Springs. And then after we scored that touchdown with 4:03 remaining in the first quarter, I believe it says, Jordan Hill was injured on a 2-point conversion, and he sat out the rest of the game. So I think they said maybe bruised back or something. I'm not sure what the extent of it was. So
maybe he'll
so
be
we
back
hope to have him back. Yeah,
maybe he'll be back this week then.
We hope so.
Okay. Well, you know, just wondered because it's getting that time of the year, you know, and I think that probably, you know, every team's fighting a little bit of the injury bug, and sometimes it can get where it's significant and it affects players that make a difference in the ball games. When you look at Foreman though, and what they've done since they won that state championship, y'all pretty much dominated them on score-wise and winning. Y'all won just about every game.
Yeah, right? I hate to jinx it, though.
Well, so that's okay. I mean, we're just talking. But you know,
Tyler can edit it out.
Yeah, that's right. But he won't. But you know, the one of the things, when we look at Dirks and their playoff chances, this is a must-win game.
Yes, absolutely. I was going to get into that. You know, you can – and you'll know more after this week and especially the next week how it kind of lays out. But like I told somebody the other day, you always got those pessimists that said we're finished. If we win out, you know, that final game will be – you'd be playing for a fourth or fifth seed.
Yeah.
If we win out and get some help, you know, if Lafayette County loses two of their next three, which will be against Foreman, Poen, and Murfreesboro, you expect Murfreesboro to beat them if one of the others – you know, Derek's is looking at
Poen's
a three
a
seed
game.
Yeah,
Derek's looks at a three seed right there. If you can do that, so you want that three before you want the four or five.
Yeah,
so
you sure do.
Does three come with a home game?
Some years it does, and yeah, some years because it's normally going to be a three versus a three.
Right.
So
They go back and forth probably, which one gets the home game there.
Right.
But anyway, you know, we're just looking at that. We're just thinking about, you know, getting down to playoff implications. And I think that, you know, of course, every game's going to be big, but this one's especially big to get you going and rolling on the right track.
Yeah, and I'm glad to have them at home, you know, play them at home in a game that's that big right now. And if y'all don't mind, real quick, I'll mention, because they will get to hear this before Friday night. When y'all came to visit a few weeks ago, they honored the 1975 state championship team. This Friday night, they're honoring the 2005 state runner-up team. Players, coaches, cheerleaders, managers, and they'd like to see as many of those as they could at halftime show up for this ballgame.
Great.
That's really cool.
Yeah, that's really cool.
I really like athletic programs and schools that pay homage to the past, you know. Whether that be, you know, through some kind of a club or Ring of Honor or Hall of Fame or just, you know, acknowledge them in the ball games, I think it's a really good thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, everybody will hang a banner, but lots of folks that go to football games don't get to see those banners during basketball season if they don't make it. So, acknowledge them every chance you get.
I agree.
Well, I just want to mention one more time that, you know, about our Toad Thumper Lures player of the game, Kaysen Jewell, had a great game for the Outlaws Friday night and look forward to the Foreman game. Tony, got an opportunity now, maybe just for a minute, to talk about the Foreman Gators. And you know, they play the Poen Indians. Poen defeated the Gators 52-13. But one player had an outstanding game.
DJ Anderson.
Again.
He is a player. And he is just a junior, too.
Yes.
So, the Gators will definitely have one weapon back in the backfield next year to build around. I know this year has been a difficult year for them in more ways than one. You know, you talk about the sickness early in the year. You talk about the game that was only 4 minutes long because the officials wouldn't stick around in a lightning delay, that, you know, they faced a lot of obstacles. But he seems to kind of, you know, he hastens back to that 2017 talent we were talking about. And if they have him, they're always going to be dangerous.
That's exactly right. And, again, you know, they're going to be playing the Dierks Outlaws this week at Dierks. And a big game for Dierks for playoff implications. Big game for Foreman, just to get on the winning track.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And I'll tell you what, that's why they play the games. No games are played on paper or even on a video screen. They are that you go out and play. And we talked about when you're talking about teenagers, you never know what you're going to get. You may get Foreman at their best and Dierks at their worst, or vice versa, or somewhere in between.
That's exactly right. And one more time, congratulations to our Horatio State Bank Gator Player of the Game, DJ Anderson.
All right, guys. Well, good interview with Jeff Tuttle. We do need to discuss who is the Pilgrim's Pride Player of the Area. Is there going to be a brawl on here? Is it pretty clear cut?
I think we're pretty much in agreement this
week. Yeah, we're in consensus on this. You know, it's just not kind of a tough week for Southwest Arkansas football, but we feel like one guy stood out, and the Pilgrim's Pride Player of the Year this week's going to be Kyle Williamson for the Leopards. He had six tackles, two tackles for loss. Great effort on a goal line stand to keep the
made back-to-back practically tackles for loss that kept the Trojans out of the end zone when they were trying to pile on the score a little bit and give our kids a lift. Our kids seemed to play better after that. So, you know, we recognized Darian Henderson on the broadcast as a co-player of the game. Darian had a great game as well, but those two tackles for loss kind of stand out for Kyle, and he's going to be the Pilgrim's Pride Player of the Area.
Very cool, man. Yeah, congratulations, Kyle.
You know, and we got one more thing we want to do before we go, Tyler.
Also, Leopards related.
Yeah, it's also Leopards related.
Yeah.
Tony, you want to do it?
Well, I'll tell you what. I could not say enough good things or think more about Bo McCaslin.
Mm.
And he was just named. He was a semifinalist. Am I correct in that?
Yep.
For Arkansas Teacher of the Year.
Top four.
Yeah, and he... actually was selected as Arkansas Teacher of the Year
mm-hmm.
yesterday. What an honor that the Teacher of the Year comes from the Queen, Arkansas. The governor was here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was big doings. And I know Bo McCaslin personally. You know, I started for the baseball team for three or four seasons there, rode with him, sat beside him on the school bus. I've seen him interact with young people on the baseball field. And then he moved to this this DQTV video department thing. Bo McCaslin's top notch. And
yeah.
I you know, I tell you all the time, coaches are ministers. Coaches are father figures. I've just seen so many instances when I've been around the athletic teams where I've seen coaches pull money out of their own pocket so a kid could eat or give them advice that maybe advice they're not getting at home. You know, pat a kid on the back when a kid needs a pat on the back. And they have a tremendous influence on young people's lives. Bo and that DQTV thing has just – it is amazing.
Yeah.
It is amazing. I've often said, almost jokingly, but not quite, you know, as a Marshall guy,
mm-hmm.
I watch ESPN Plus a lot. ESPN yeah. Plus is Marshall go-to. And, you know, that DQTV is, it's just such a high quality. His young people that are associated with that program, they do such a good job. And he deserves so much credit. And I'm really pleased that he's being recognized.
Puts him into runnings for teacher of the entire nation.
That's right. National Teacher of the Year.
National Teacher of the Year.
Also, you know, and I couldn't be prouder of him, too. I mean, just congratulations on a great job. You know, he gives all the credit to the administration and to the students. And, you know, somebody's putting all that together.
Yeah.
And that's him.
I'll tell you what, there's nobody cares about it more than he does.
No, and he does. I mean, you know, you look at DQTV, if you watch our broadcast compared to, you know, we've watched some other broadcasts,
mm-hmm.
nothing, it doesn't compare at all.
And it's not Greg and I carrying it.
No, yeah. That's for sure. That's for sure.
Yeah.
You know, the only thing that bothers me about the whole deal is I asked him for a loan last night, and he wouldn't loan me any of that money.
Oh, well. He's going to use it for good purposes.
Yeah.
Listen, and DQTV, I thought AV classes in high school were all but gone at this point, especially with, like, iPhones. Everybody's got a phone in their pocket. Everybody's kind of an amateur photographer, you know, recording audio, recording video, doesn't matter. And then also with the fact that being an influencer or a content creator, as they call it in this new age, is the number one small business, is the most desired occupation for kids in high school at this current moment, which, whether that's good or bad, you know, is one thing. DQTV is a way to give these kids like an actual leg up going out of high school and being able to continue to do this kind of stuff with real knowledge on how AV works, doing broadcasts and reporting and anchoring. And then you have the guys behind the production. It's incredible.
One of the really cool aspects yesterday when I was looking at this on Facebook was all the students, how happy they were for Bo, the students that have been under him, and even the students who have gone on to college, some of them in, you know, broadcasting mm-hmm. fields.
Joe Blaze Bush,
that's a good example. And, you know, they're as happy for him as we are.
Absolutely. Nothing but, it's a well-deserved, huge congratulations. I love him. We have him on the show.
Yeah.
And all I can hope is that he's still around when my son gets to that age, and I want him in DQTV. You know, it's just great.
We're not letting him leave.
Yeah, no, we're not letting him leave. He's not. You said something earlier. You believe he's right where he wants to be.
Oh, I think
right?
He's where he wants to be. I do think he's probably. He may be up in a tree right now.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. So, it wouldn't surprise me.
I talked to him about it last week, and I said, when do you think they're going to finally do that? And he said, well, he said, you know, I don't really know. You know, they don't give you and they did surprise him,
mm-hmm.
but he thought it was coming up pretty quick. He said, I hope they hurry up because I want to go climb in a tree.
Yeah.
Deer hunt.
Yeah.
So,
a little hunt.
But anyway, we thank the world of Bo, and congratulations to him for being the Arkansas Teacher of the Year.
Could not be prouder.
Yeah. Big time.
You know, Tony, last week was a really tough week for Southwest Arkansas football. Hope this week's going to be better. Got some really good games.
Well, the Outlaws or the Gators, one's going to get a win.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's right.
And so,
and we're pulling for our Panthers.
That's, yeah, we will be.
Yeah.
Yeah. our Leopards and Lions as well. So
yeah, Leopards just, homecoming this week.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's still a big week.
Yeah, big week for Southwest Arkansas football. And
looking forward to it.
Episode 11. Yeah. I think that's in the books, huh?
I think so. That's
awesome.
It.
Hey, big shout out to all of our listeners, our sponsors, and everybody who supports this whole thing, listening on Facebook, Spotify, or otherwise.
That's exactly right. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.